You are listening to the WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago. Keep your dials tuned to this same station for another exciting drama, the story of Kay Fairchild, Stepmother. Can a stepmother successfully raise another woman's children? Colgate All-Purpose Tooth Powder presents the real-life story of Kay Fairchild, a stepmother who tries. Tell me frankly, did you ever hear a girl with dingy teeth called lovely? No, I don't believe you ever did. Now, isn't it tragic to let dingy teeth mark you down when Colgate All-Purpose Tooth Powder can so quickly send your social rating up? Don't you think that's really possible? Then try Colgate Tooth Powder today and enjoy these thrilling results. Not tomorrow, but immediately. Yes, after your very first brushing. Just pour a little Colgate Tooth Powder on a damp brush and get going. Say, this feels grand, you'll exclaim as the fresh, bubbly, flavorsome foam surges through your mouth. Colgate Tooth Powder instantly goes to work on dulling film stains, removes them so your teeth can glisten with natural radiance. And that's a sparkling background for a scintillating smile. And just feel the glorious freshness all through your mouth. That's why your breath is so much sweeter after brushing your teeth with Colgate Tooth Powder. And then, for the final benefit, Colgate Tooth Powder is safe and pleasant for gum massage. Now think of it. This one marvelous tooth powder benefits your teeth, your mouth, and breath, and is safe for massage. That's why millions praise Colgate as a genuine all-purpose tooth powder. So ask for Colgate Tooth Powder at any drug, department, or tempting store, and enjoy this amazing triple action every time you use it. But now, Colgate Tooth Powder presents Kay Fairchild, Stepmother. If your husband suddenly found himself in serious trouble, if he should be faced with the prospect of losing his job under circumstances that deeply wounded his pride, wouldn't you feel hurt because he wasn't taking you into his confidence? Well, this is precisely the problem being faced by Kay Fairchild. She's certain that her husband, John, is in some kind of difficulty. The other night, he suddenly and mysteriously took a train for the state capital, giving Kay only the vaguest reasons why he had to go. He's still away, and she's had no word from him except a brief telegram. But let's join Kay. She's gone to visit her friend, Jen Porter. It's the hour of twilight, and the two women are sitting on the little balcony back of Jen's apartment, looking down over the town of Walnut Grove.
Have you heard from John since he left, Kay?
Just a telegram to say he'd arrived safely. I sat around for a while after dinner, hoping the phone would ring. It did presently, but it was Bert Weston calling Peg.
Did Peg go out with him tonight?
Mm-hmm. They took the car and drove out into the country.
Is Bud at home?
Well, he went somewhere with Tubby Ellis to the movies, I think. Billy was in bed, and Maddie was listening to the radio. Tried for a while to knit. Tried to read a book, but I couldn't concentrate. So I came over here to bother you.
Oh, I wish you'd bother me oftener. Sometimes I get pretty lonely myself in the evening.
Oh, we're a pair of unfortunate old ladies, aren't we, Jen? Your husband gone, mine gone. Nobody to keep us company but ourselves.
I'm probably just as well off without my husband. If he were here, he'd be pacing back and forth across the floor, chewing his fingernails. I'd be able to tell from the faraway look in his eyes that he was thinking of a cafe in San Francisco or a casino in New Orleans. No, it's better that he's out there where he wants to be, where he doesn't have a wife to cramp his style.
Well, it's a pretty safe bet that John isn't spending the evening in a cafe or a casino. He doesn't go in for that sort of thing. But I'd surely like to know where he is spending it. Jim, I've thought of 1,001 explanations for the way he's been acting. I'm sure the truth couldn't be as bad as some of the things I've imagined.
What are some of the things you've imagined?
Oh, I hesitate to tell even you. You know, Jen, being mayor of a town must have a man a chance to make some terrible mistakes. Maybe John's got himself into some kind of mess that's going to cause a scandal. Maybe he's got himself involved in... Oh, Jen, it's terrible to say it. But I keep thinking that perhaps... Well, he's mixed up in some sort of embezzlement.
Kay, you should have more faith in John than to believe that.
But, Jen, something must be going on that he's ashamed of. Or why wouldn't he talk to me about it? You know as well as I do that he's not staying down there at the Capitol for days just to talk about routine political matters with the governor. And that's what he said. Routine political matters. Jen, he wasn't telling the truth.
Maybe not, Kay. That's no reason why you should let your imagination go completely wild.
But if he's in trouble, I feel I should know about it. Oh, it doesn't matter what he's done, what's happened. I'd do everything in the world to help him. But he won't talk to me. It makes me feel so useless. So left out of things. What kind of a wife am I if he can't confide in me?
That sounds as though you blame yourself, Kate. You shouldn't do that. After all, you haven't done anything wrong.
Well, maybe not. But sometimes I feel a complete sympathy and understanding between us is impossible.
Why do you say that?
Oh, I don't know. He's older than I am. He's been married before and I haven't. And perhaps Well, he's never really taken me seriously as a wife.
Oh, I'm sure that's not the explanation.
Oh, listen to that. Thunder.
I've been expecting it. Big black clouds have been piling up off there.
Mm-hmm. And there's a light breeze sprung up from the east, too. Fresh and sweet, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Smells as if we're going to have rain before long.
Look how dark it's getting. Oh, I see. Evenings like this set my blood tingling. But they aren't good evenings to be alone and worried about your husband.
Yeah. The east wind can be pretty disturbing.
Well, your lungs aren't big enough to drink in all of it you'd like to. I remember a night like this a long time ago. Seems like a long time. Just after I came to Walnut Grove, John and I were driving home in the country club.
Well,
it was a very nice night. Sometimes I wonder if I've found in Walnut Grove what I thought I'd find.
I guess nobody can answer that but you, Kay.
Even I can't answer it, Jen. I know I've been happy. But lately, tonight, I have a fear that something will happen that may cancel it all out. All we can be sure of is that nothing is sure. And that tomorrow won't be like today. Our lives move in cycles. Sometimes that's a good thing to remember. Sometimes bad. We're down in a dark valley. It allows us to hope and be almost sure that we'll come out after a while on top of a hill. But we have to remember, too, that beyond every hill, there's another valley. And tonight, I'm afraid that the road ahead for John and me is going to be downgrade.
John Fairchild out of his position as mayor of Walnut Grove, we begin to wonder whether Kay's foreboding of dark things to come doesn't almost amount to a sixth sense. But if Kay is lonely and pretty discouraged on the summer evening, her stepdaughter, Peg, is in a very different frame of mind. Her drive through the country with Bert has brought them to the top of a hill. They've gotten out of the car and stand now, leaning on an old rail fence, watching the gathering storm in the east.
Gee, Bert, don't you wish we lived in the country so we could take walks along old roads like this every night?
Well, that's a mushy idea.
Wouldn't you like to have a home of your own? Out here where it's all so quiet, away from the noise of the streetcars and automobiles and trains.
Well, maybe. The city does grate on a person's nerves a bit sometimes.
See, you had a house built right here in this field, on top of the hill, with a front porch facing down that way. Think of sitting there in the evening and listening to the birds.
Hey, look, why don't you put this in blank verse?
Oh, but it would be wonderful, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't know. I never thought much about living in the country. But it mightn't be a bad idea.
If you were building a house of your own here on the hill, what would it be like?
Well, I guess it wouldn't be a very big house. Just big enough so a guy'd have some place to hide when his wife had company. And it wouldn't be stone or brick. I'd want it made of wood so I could burn it down if I ever got tired of it and wanted to go away.
Oh, Bert, please don't say such silly things.
Maybe I would want it made of stone after all, though. Maybe if I had a stone house to anchor me down, I'd get over that feeling of always wanting to be someplace else.
If you had the right kind of house, you'd never want to go away from it.
But of course, I would have to have a wife. Yep, have to have a wife to scrub the floors and make the beds and cook a chicken on Sunday. I couldn't afford a housekeeper on the money I'd be making. Probably couldn't even afford the house.
If the house wasn't so big, it wouldn't cost so much.
Say, how are you as a cook? I never thought to ask you before. Do you know how to stew a chicken for Sunday dinner?
You just bet I do.
You know how to make sauerbraten with noodles?
I could learn.
And would you want to get calluses on your knees scrubbing the kitchen floor?
I wouldn't mind. But I could buy them up, you know.
Hmm. Well, maybe you'd do all right in a little stone house. You'd like to have a go at it, wouldn't you?
Bert, are you asking me to...
I'm just asking you whether you're sure you'd like that chicken mop bed-making routine.
I know I'd like it. I know for sure I'd like it.
That's all I wanted to know. Now, you're a wonderful little kid, Peggy.
Bert, do you...
Say, look, hadn't we better climb back in the car? That thing that just hit me on the nose is a drop of rain. Come on.
Bert, you're... See, I don't know what to say.
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about.
Well, suppose I do. It's still starting to rain. Come on, let's climb back into the jalopy. The rain soaks the curl out of your hair. Kay won't recognize you when I get you.
Days now, Peg has been feeding herself on the idea that Bert has at last fallen in love with her. And it's clear that she interpreted those remarks of his on this night as a proposal of marriage. Maybe that was what Bert meant. Do you think so? If Peg should suddenly announce that she's going to be married, what effect would that have on Kay's already troubled mind? Your teeth should glisten when you talk. They should sparkle when you smile. They should feel smooth as satin against your tongue. Well, do they? Well, of course they do if you use Colgate all-purpose tooth powder. For this remarkable dentifrice does all this and more for your teeth. Yes, Colgate tooth powder performs this amazing triple action. First, it cleans your teeth to dazzling natural brilliance. Second, it freshens your mouth and sweetens your breath. And third, it's safe and pleasant for gum massage. One, two, three. Three important benefits for teeth, breath, and gum massage from this one scientific dentifrice. Three mighty good reasons to try Colgate all-purpose tooth powder today. So ask for it at any drug, department, or 10-cent store. The Tomorrow, Kay spends an evening with her two stepchildren, and Peg asks some questions that set Kay to thinking and wondering. So tune in tomorrow, and every day at this time, Monday through Friday, for Kay Fairchild's Stepmother. Brought to you by Colgate All-Purpose Tooth Powder. This is Don Hancock speaking. Take just 1 minute after you bathe to shower your body with Cashmere Bouquet Talcum Powder. This luxurious talcum dries up lingering moisture, imparts a satiny smoothness to your whole body, and helps comfort a sensitive, chafed skin. Hours later, it scents the air about you with the haunting perfume of Cashmere Bouquet, the fragrance men love. Get Cashmere Bouquet Talcum Powder at any toilet goods counter. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
This is the WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago.